Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is found in the third chapter of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Are appreciative of you being here in the auditorium. Do have a good number here. Nice to see all your smiling faces. Those listening by way of radio, although we can't see your smiling faces, we are still appreciative of you being here nonetheless. And would love for you to join us any chance that you may have. I do want to personally invite both those on air and those here to our Monday night Bible study. We'll be meeting again tomorrow night. We'll have refreshments at 6, and we'll start studying the book of Acts at about 6:30. We'd love to have you anytime you can be here. Arlington Church of Christ, 2500 Faulkner Springs Road. There was a lady who got on a bus carrying almost a newborn, as it were, and the newborn was just a squalling, and she gets on the bus and pays her fare. And as she gets to the back, she sits down next to this cantankerous old man who just stares at that crying baby the whole time, and just stares and stares, and finally says, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm trying to be nice, it's the new year and all, and not stare, but that has to be the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my life." And she just starts a-ranting and raving and going on, as any mother would, I'm sure. So much so that she goes up to the front and says, "I'm sorry, bus driver, I hate to interrupt your route, but one of your passengers has just insulted me. Can you please make it right?" So he gets back there and hears the baby crying. He says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry for all this difficulty and stress. I will refund your fare, and I'll get you a banana for that pet monkey you have as well." Dwayne, that's what not to do when you travel, okay? We are appreciative of you being here. I want us to start, because missed you last week. We had the chance to be with Sarah's family, all 20 of us together. Doesn't happen a whole lot at church. So missed being here, really did. And this was the sermon you were going to hear last week, so you hear it today. This is my first time to preach at Arlington in 2023 on a Sunday. I want us to talk about pressing forward. It's still the new year, right? It's going to be the new year for about 50 more weeks. And then we'll figure out, got to write 2024 now. So pressing forward, dear friends. And as we look at this, it is imperative to know, no matter how much you may have enjoyed 2022, you can't go back and relive it. It may have been the best year of your life. Conversely, if it was the worst year of your life, you may be thankful that you don't have to go back and relive 2022. Those events are forever sealed on the pages of history. They can be lived again no more. Instead, we can only live right now. I can't even go back to yesterday and try to finish things on my to-do list that may have been left undone. I can only live for today and plan for tomorrow. As we look at this, go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, and this will kind of be our guiding thought as we look in our lesson today on pressing forward. What should our attitude or our mindset be, dear friends? Philippians 2 and verse number 5, where Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." As I press forward, as I march along, I need to think, well, how would Christ respond in this situation? What can I do right now to be a better servant of His, to be more faithful to Him? Because there are things I can do to be more faithful, there are things I can do to be less faithful. And I really believe that Paul is using that idea of mind of Christ as he writes to them in verses 13 through 15, how he talks about leaving things behind him and pressing forward. And that's where I want us to spend our time allotted today. And as we talk about pressing forward, first and foremost, I've got to forget the things that are behind me. I have to forget things that are behind me. Once again, Philippians 3 and verse 13, that's what that big number 13 means. Back to our lesson text, if you will. Brethren, now remember, he is writing to fellow Christians. Paul spent time in the city of Philippi, which, by the way, we're going to talk about tomorrow night, Monday night at 6:30, if you want to come. Paul spent time in Acts chapter 16 in Philippi and converted many people. A jailer, his household, Lydia, and those around her. Much good was done in the city of Philippi. He's writing to Christians. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, I forget those things which are behind. Does that mean that Paul forgot everything that has ever happened to him? No. In fact, he's not trying to obliterate every thought of the past. That is about near impossible, dear friends. You can't just get rid of everything that's ever happened to you. Although you might want to get rid of some things, you can't. I tell you what, it's good. Go with me. Sometimes it is good, I should say. 2 Peter. Find us over there. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 3, sometimes it is beneficial to remember things that we've gone through. Notice here, Peter's writing, according to the divine power. Well, that's godly. God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And some of those things, no doubt, that you have learned before. He talks about through the knowledge of Him. You get knowledge by studying, learning something, coming back later, studying it again, building your knowledge bank. He's given us everything we need. Now tie that in with chapter 3 and verse number 1. Notice here, chapter 3 of 2 Peter and 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I both stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Peter says, I've already told you things that you need to know, and now I'm going to stir them up again. Isn't that what Paul tells Timothy as well? Stir up in thee the gifts and the remembrance. See, it's good every now and then to go back in and remember things that have happened to us. Maybe when we were successful in a business deal or in a conversion with talking to a neighbor, remember how we did that so we can do it again. But if you failed, I don't know if I want to remember every part of me failing. Maybe why I failed so I don't do it again. But I don't know if I want to remember the heartache, the disgrace, or whatever. Sometimes, dear friends, it is good to think of things in the past. You know, God gave us a memory for a reason. And we hold on to good memories for those good times to get us through in the bad times, right? You can remember days gone by, maybe loved one that you've been with. See, we can't remember everything, but we can't forget everything. Dear friends, we also cannot let our previous ties hinder me being obedient today. I can't let what's happened in the past keep me from being faithful today. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to notice Paul talks about how he had to let go of some things. Paul, who had the best education, I would dare argue, that money could buy, of a good little tribe. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was well respected among his peers and well feared as well. Had a lot of power. I don't know many people that could just go to the high priest and say, hey, I want to go kill Christians. And they say, here's your written permission, go do it. But Paul could. Notice here, yea, doubtless, I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. Why, Paul? That I might win with Christ. Paul had to cut ties, his former Jewish ties, his former associates, those that he dealt with, that prestige that he had in the eyes of others. Paul had to sever that. He had to cut it, let it go for Christ. He had a good education, a good life in the world's eyes, and yet he had to let it go. I think about Absalom back in the Old Testament. Absalom in the book of 2 Samuel had to leave his old house, had to leave those memories behind him, even some sacred things, because he could not let anything keep him from being faithful to God. Now, he had some other issues, but there was a turning point in Absalom's mind. Dear friends, if you must, and this happens This happens in the church. Sometimes you might have to go against the wishes of loved ones. Your loved ones may have not grown up in the church. I wish everybody's loved ones did. But if everybody grew up in the church and everybody was saved, then we wouldn't have to plead for people to obey. We just have to plead for them to be faithful, right? Not everybody grew up in the church. Not everybody has family members who are 100% are members of the church. Don't let loved ones' wishes hinder you from obeying the truth. And if you've given those up, dear friends, praise be to God that you're not walking in that way anymore. But don't let those former ties that you have with disobedience hinder you from being obedient. Oh, I respect very much so. And if you're one of these, I respect you and I want you to know that. If you grew up not in the church and you went against your family's well wishes, that's not an easy thing to do. I respect you for that, but don't go back to it. You hang in there. You have the church family, which is far better than anything earthly. And your earthly family's good, and you can still have an earthly family, just not get along spiritually speaking. That happens. Dear friends, we cannot let those previous ties keep us from obedience. If you've turned against your life of sin, don't allow those former associates to pull you back in. If you used to run around with a motley crowd and now you're a Christian, don't let that motley crowd try to bring you back into the ways of the world. Peter says that's worse than if you hadn't obeyed in the first place. I tell you, we've got friends and they go, I can't believe you'd be at church on Sunday. And I can't believe you'd be at church on Wednesday night. Why in the world are you going to go on Monday night of all things? If those are your friends and they're trying to pull you away from the church, you might need new friends. Paul had to cut ties. We've all had to. I won't get into personal stories of people I no longer associate with, but we've all had to cut ties while we're pruning to be more faithful to God. I can't let previous ties hinder my obedience, because those people that are laughing at me, they don't answer for my soul, they answer for their soul. And I don't want to have to answer, why'd you go back to the ways of the world? As I talk about forgetting the things behind me, I also can't brood over mistakes. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I, Justin Reed, have made many mistakes in my life. Thank you for not gasping. I appreciate that. I've made mistakes, right? I'm human. There are things that just haven't gone my way. Errors I have made, I've had to fix. I've had to repent of. That's called being human. Dear friends, the past is fixed. I can't change it. Okay, you didn't do that right. Okay, fix it the next time. Learn from your mistake not to repeat that. But I can't go back and redo that conversation. I can't go back and redo that business deal. I can't go back and change this. I can't go back and change that. So I can't brood over past mistakes that have happened. I tell you what, we've been talking about the Apostle Paul. He wrote Philippians. Paul erred big time when he persecuted Christians. When we're first introduced to him in Acts chapter 7, he is approving and holding the coats for those who are killing the first Christian martyr recorded in Scripture of Stephen. And Paul's just right there holding their coats. And in Acts chapter 8, he's persecuting and sending them to prison. And he'll later go on to say he even killed some Christians or ordered them to be killed. Paul messed up. But he did not let that bear upon his mind to the extent of hindering his work. Now, I will say, Paul mentions he has a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, and he said, I prayed three times the Lord would not remove it. I've often wondered if that thorn in the flesh might have been those memories of how he used to treat Christians. I don't know. Scripture doesn't record on purpose what that thorn in the flesh was, but I could see that getting to him on occasions. And if that was it, he didn't let that stop him completely. He pressed forward. Dear friends, we must repent of our past that should be wrongs, not rings. See, I need to fix that. I'll repent of that for the next time. We should repent of our past wrongdoings. Obey the Lord and rejoice that our past is not remembered anymore. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 8 and verse 12, I should say. This is a blessed thought, dear friends. The Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I was unrighteous before I obeyed the gospel. And yet God was merciful to me in my unrighteousness, Romans 5:8, that He sent His Son to die for me. And the good news is God does not remember my past sins against me. He wipes the slate clean, no longer held against my charge. Now the world will try to hold them to you, but God won't. So I need to repent of my past wrongs, obey and rejoice, dear friends. And I need to compensate for mistakes with a life of usefulness. So maybe before you obeyed the gospel, you weren't faithful. Maybe you used to badmouth the church. Maybe you used to this or that. Now that you're a Christian, compensate for that. Make it a point to go out and invite those people that you used to say, well, why would they go to church? Encourage them. Turn your life around, dear friends, and don't be satisfied with the past. Don't be satisfied with the past. Quit trying, and don't quit trying to improve. Every day, my goal is to be a better, more faithful version of Justin Reed than I was yesterday. And you know what my goal is for tomorrow? An even better of him than today. Hopefully by that time, when I meet my Maker, everything will be perfect, right? I'm a daily work in progress. I am not complete by any means. So I can't brood over past mistakes, and I can't become satisfied with the past. Always reaching forward. So that brings us to our second point then. Paul says, go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. The end of it, he says, I am forgetting those things which are behind. Notice this, I am reaching forth unto the things that are before. I forget what's behind me. Does he say he just quits? No. He's forgotten what's behind him, and then he's always moving forward. Dear friends, in order to be successful with this, you must set a goal. It is imperative we must set a goal. Often this time of year, people set resolutions. I want to, in this year, lose this, gain this, earn this, whatever the case may be. We must have goals that we have set forth. I have a goal in this sermon, is I'm going to get through the whole thing, that we all understand it, right? That's a goal. And when we accomplish it, I can check it off and move on to the next thing. But in order to reach for those things that are before, I have to become goal-oriented. And I'm going to tell you now, sometimes your goal could be something very small, but you achieve that goal, that's still a reason for rejoicing. See, I've got to turn it into something positive. As I'm reaching forward, turning to something positive, I want you to think about this. When someone leaves the world and obeys the gospel and becomes a Christian, their sins have been washed away. We agree that is a biblical fact, Romans 6, 3 and 4. We know that happens, dear friends. We should rejoice that their sins have been washed away. Shouldn't say, well, it took them long enough. Well, that's not rejoice. That's the wrong attitude, dear friends. I should be overjoyed when I have a dear brother or dear sister who has become entangled again in the world and they repent. I shouldn't go, well, I can't believe all that they used to do. I should rejoice that they have come back. They have returned to their first love. They have repented, and that God has removed the slate again or cleaned the slate again. I must always turn it into a positive, because that is a soul that has been restored or a soul that has been saved. Because if I don't turn it into something positive, if I go to shake their hand after services, after they've come forward to repent, and I whisper in their ear, took you long enough, I can't believe you didn't do it, da da da. That's just going to make them want to go back. Why in the world did I do it, is the question they're going to ask themselves. No, we must be positive. We must rejoice. That's what God does, right? God doesn't go, I can't believe how many are not saved. He rejoices. Luke 15 tells us three separate accounts of rejoicing when something that is lost is found. I must reach forward. And I tell you what, we all must set our own aim. The Christian's goal is the mark that is in Christ, to live for Christ. But I've got to set that goal for myself. You can't set that goal for me, of how I am to live my life. I must do that for myself. I must strive for perfection. Now, I don't mean perfection like no errors. That's humanly impossible. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. I mean perfection as in completeness. My life is a puzzle, dear friends, and without Christ, I'm missing that main piece. But when I have Christ, you put it together, and if you're like me and you like to do puzzles that are approximately 10 pieces or less, because those are easier, if I had 9, I put one in, boom, I have 10 pieces. I am 100% complete. That picture is now perfect. And that is found only in Christ. By the way, so is eternal life. Eternal life is only offered in Christ. The world can't do it. Now, Satan's going to sit on your shoulder and whisper in your ear and say that he can provide eternal life, but that's a bold-faced lie. He can't provide it, but Christ can. Dear friends, as I am reaching forward to a new things before me, I'm going to say, dear friends, the church should set a goal. The church as a whole, we are a body of Christians that meets here at Arlington, and we need to have goals as we press forward. We can't go back and say, well, it used to be this way, used to be that way. If all you do is say how it used to be, nothing's going to happen, right? Used to be this, used to be that. We must set a goal as a congregation. One of those would be, dear friends, I would say, we need to aim to grow. We got to aim to grow. Now, church growth is interesting because you'll hear people preach and fuss till they're blue in the face, and they say, oh, we just need more people. We just need more people. We'll grow. Well, I give you that. Numerically, you will grow, yes. But sometimes size isn't always the way you measure growth. If I were to take my right arm, I'm right-handed, I'm right arm dominant, not that I do sports, but right arm dominant. If you were to take my arm muscles and double them in size overnight, guess what? I can't use my arm because I haven't strengthened those muscles to be that size to pull all these tendons and these bones and these ligaments. Growth takes time. And church growth takes time. It doesn't fix itself overnight, but you got to have an aim to grow. If not, you won't grow. We need to have an aim, dear friends, as a church to save souls. Because I'm looking, we've got a good number of people here, although they're kind of all on one side. That's okay. We're going to have to get some weights. As Buddy and I were talking earlier, that's okay. We're just glad you're here. But there are some people in our lives that aren't here. You know people in your life that are not saved. I bet. I'd like to be wrong on that. Dear friends, the church's goal should be to save souls. We've got to plan the work and work the plan. Because if you never plan the work and work the plan, you'll get nowhere, dear friends. Why do you set a goal? If you don't, how will you know if you've ever achieved it? We must reach for things that are forward. And that idea of reaching forth, it's a stretching. It's a leaning. It's not just a striving. It leads to striving. We must fix our goal. Because Paul sees a goal. And it's like Paul's feet are stuck where they are, but he's leaning forward with every ounce of his being, trying to reach it like a kid at Thanksgiving that's trying to reach for the rolls even though they were told not yet. But they see him, right? They want it. They want that goal, doing everything in their power to get it. That's how we must be with our goals, dear friends. We must continue to reach forward. And I'm a firm believer it can be. We can do it. But we've got one final verse I want us to look at. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. We need to talk about striving forward or pressing forward, as it were. Paul says, I am leaving things behind me. I am reaching forward. Notice this, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing forward. See, we can't remain stationary. In order to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, you can't stay stationary. You must strive to continue to advance. What does strive mean? It means you got to face resistance, but it can be overcome. I think about a truck. You ever looked at aerodynamics of trucks and cars? Especially big rig semi-trucks, they've got to push a whole lot of air out of the way for them to get where they're going. And we don't even see it because we don't see air. Sometimes we'll see the wind moving, but you don't see air by and large. But as they're rolling down the interstate, they've got to displace all of this air. And they must do it so they can advance. That's why they make trucks with the little dome tops and aerodynamic and this, that, and the other, so it's easier for them to advance. And there are things we could do in our lives, dear friends, that make it easier for us to advance, because we can do it. Strive also implies persistence. Paul doesn't say in verse 14, I tried once and I reached the prize of the mark of the high calling of God. I press. I am persistently reaching out. I am persistently trying to be faithful to God each and every day. And dear friends, there is unity in pressing forward. I think about a team pulling together. I always think about tug of war and ropes. I love watching people play tug of war. I don't like to do tug of war, but I'll enjoy watching it. I've always found the best strategy is if your opponents are counting one, two, three pull, then your team needs to pull on three. Right? Because the other enemy's not, your opponent's not working for that. But if some people go on one, some people go on three, and some people go on pull, you're going to get nowhere fast. We all got to work together. I think about the Bible uses the term a yoke frequently, right? Christ says, come unto me, Matthew 11:28. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I found it so is one of the songs in our songbook. A yoke implies at least two oxen, and they have to work together. That's why in 1 Corinthians about chapter 6, Paul says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. One going left, one going right, you'll go nowhere. We must strive to press forward. And this is meant to be encouraging, dear friends, because you and I, we can do it. We can press forward in 2023, and I think we did a good job in 2022. But you know what? We can't go back and try to fix anything else. But we can go from here forward, pressing on till the Lord returns. And it can be done. We must learn these examples from Paul. Because if Paul could do it, if he thought the church at Philippi could do it, I believe the church here at Arlington can do it. And any other congregations of the Lord, if they'll do what he says. But dear friends, it's plain and simple. You cannot press forward. You really can't forget those things behind you until you've started your journey. And if you're not a Christian, you haven't put on Christ in baptism, your sins stay with you. You must hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Then you press forward. Then you continue going, dear friends. And if at once you were pressing forward but you quit, you need to begin anew today. Repent of those sins. We'd love to pray with you and pray for you. Repent of anything that you've done missing the mark and continue to be faithful to the Lord. And if we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need may be, would you please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.